This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the show. It's our Doctor in the House series. Dr. George Lee, consultant urologist in the studio with me. How are you today, George?
I'm very good because I'm looking forward to the weekend. Tomorrow, I hear, is International Day of Happiness.
I know.
Well, I'm a happy, happy boy. Well, getting ready to be happy. Well, first of all, you know, I had my vaccine yesterday.
I saw that on Instagram.
Okay, yesterday I wasn't a happy
boy. You pretended to cry. Why, George?
Hashtag, I miss my
drama.
Mummy.
Right? No, you've that always is drama. Been drama.
Okay, right.
I know.
It was, well.
Okay, what did it feel like? Was it painful?
Not at all. So, you know, for those of you who were fooled by that, a bit of, you know, lousy theatre, right? Okay. No, it wasn't painful at all. And today, you don't feel a thing. I didn't have any feverish symptoms. So it's completely plain sailing. So effortless.
No fatigue, no lethargy, no.
Not at all. I guess I have plenty of cushioning fat that can, you know, buffer all that expansion of the tissue. So it was fine. Okay. So for those of you out there, if you were, you know, a bit traumatized by some Instagram that I put out, I'm sorry, it's not really that painful. And seriously, register yourself with my Sujatra because it's worthwhile doing.
Okay, so you finally got it.
I know, that's why I'm a happy boy.
You'd probably be some of the last people because of the field of urology. You're not really...
Well, we are frontline but back row.
Okay.
Backside fun night.
I'm glad you've got your vaccine. Well done. Yeah. But today's show is a little interesting. It is... It sounds a little technical, but we're going to break it down as much as we can. We're trying to figure out how to manage something called a cancer called multiple myeloma. Now, our bone marrow plays a very important role in producing healthy blood cells, and we know that. But when a type of cancer called multiple myeloma develops in the bone marrow, it can have a debilitating effect on a person's bones, kidneys, blood, the ability to sort of ward off infections. I mean, in terms of your immune system, it is compromised. So joining us today is senior consultant hematologist, Professor Dr. Gan Jinjin. She's going to explain how multiple myeloma develops and the treatment, how it's going to advance and the improved outcomes for patients. And this show is part of a health education campaign brought to you by Johnson & Johnson Malaysia. If you have a question, you can call us on 7733 2900, WhatsApp 0187898899, or tweet us on BFM Radio. So, now the very fact that it's multiple myeloma is already going to be, everybody's wondering, what on earth is this? Now, we spoke about the bone marrow. We know that, you know, blood cells are created in the bone marrow. We've got white blood cells. We've got red blood cells. However, even amongst white blood cells, we have different types of white blood cells, one of which is called the plasma cell, right? And when that plasma cell has cancer or cancer forms in the plasma cell is when you get what you call multiple myeloma. Professor Gan, please explain to us. I mean, you've been working in this field for a very long time. How does it affect the white blood cell in the first place? How does cancer affect this white blood cell?
Do you mean how it plasma, multiple myeloma affect white blood cell?
Yes.
Yeah. So actually, plasma cells are actually activated B cells, which is a type of lymphocytes, which then mature into plasma cells.
So, and a lot of this havoc is happening all in the bone marrow?
Usually it's in the bone marrow.
Okay. So what causes it? Do we even know?
Well, there's no real, at this moment, we don't really know what causes multiple myeloma or the cancer of the plasma cells, although there's some reports that mention that perhaps certain chemical or radiation exposure, but there's no real thing to say that we usually can't tell the patient, yes, because of certain diet or because of something that you do that predispose you to have multiple myeloma. Unfortunately, there's no such evidence to say that that's a definite cause.
Is it rare?
Well, because I'm a hematologist, so it is not rare, but I would say it is not common. According to the data, about 10% of hematological cancers are multiple myeloma, but personally, I think it's a bit more than that. but we don't have our national cancer registry that just specifically looking at the incidence or prevalence of multiple myeloma.
You just want to tell us a little bit more about what are some of the other hematological cancers that you see?
Oh, we see lymphomas. That's one of the quite common.
Most common.
And of course, acute leukemia and chronic leukemia. So those are the cancer, hematological cancer that we see. And of course, there's myeloproliferative neoplasm. All these medical terms seems quite
a
difficult
bit technical.
Yeah, so
even for a urologist like myself.
So I would say lymphoma would probably be something that we would see quite common. Yeah.
Okay. I mean, Mira, isn't the other reason why I'm a happy chap is because I haven't, you know, keep in touch with Professor Gan for a long time. We used to work together probably about a decade ago, but, you know, obviously she hasn't changed much. But one of the things that we always get really worried about this is that, you know, for us as urologists, sometimes we come across patients with metastatic disease because prostate cancer actually spread to the bones quite significantly. And then a lot of time that will cause significant pain in patients with bone pain and that sort of thing. Sometimes they are mistaken to be metastatic disease, but it turned out to be multiple myeloma. Is that true?
Most definitely. That's why one of go on and have chiropractor.
That's right.
And we actually have one patient who actually had some back pain, and he went for
a massage.
And,
oh my God, I'm worried now.
And lo and behold, he actually suffered a. When they were massaging him, manipulating his spine, he actually heard a crack.
Hold on a sec. What was the crack?
It was a fracture.
Yes.
Mira.
Yeah.
Because if multiple myeloma can affect all
it
the bone marrow.
And it weakens the bone?
Yeah. So I they see. Can present with fractures, with very minimal trauma or minimal manipulation.
Okay.
So their bones are very brittle. Fragile and brittle.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's right. So, you know, that's why we need, you know, Professor Gunn to help us, to guide us along. Because in the old days, when I was a medical student and then early trainees, a lot of prostate cancer patients presented with, you know, what's assumed to be prostate cancer. But what was what we always taught is that if the bone pain is generalized, do a skull X-ray, you always see this classic look. And then, but obviously, it's 2 or 3 decades down the road, and I understand that a lot of hematological malignancy had made huge amount of advancement in medical treatment. And I guess multiple myeloma has also moved a long way from those days. Is that correct?
Definitely. When I started training as a hematologist, well, I shouldn't say the years, but it's a long time ago, we don't have many choices, and we would be just giving them one or two type of chemotherapy. And their overall survival are usually not beyond 5 years.
Yeah, that's quite dismal.
Yeah. So, but now, 20, 30 years down the line, we have this huge, a lot more options that we can offer to patients.
Mm-hmm.
And each one will give us a good response rate. So it's not as dismal as what it was before.
Yeah.
So
that's
there's
always
a lot of advancement in this.
Let's look at the symptoms before we go on to the treatment. So it sounds like the symptoms could mimic other conditions as well. So then how do you pick up multiple myeloma?
So I think it has to be someone must have that index of suspicion, right? So patients may present with kidney problem, as what you have mentioned, like kidney failure. They may present with anemia. They may present with bone pain or fracture. So if the patient seek the advice of an orthopedic surgeon, so perhaps the surgeon would have to look at if there's a concomitant anemia, let's say, or a kidney impairment, then they have to think about could this be multiple myeloma and then do some investigation to look for it. And if patient present with kidney failure or some kidney impairment, then again the nephrologist will have to be a little bit more aware and perhaps do more investigation to see whether the kidney failure could have been due to the multiple myeloma.
Is it often missed by doctors?
Yes, it is true. I would think so. It's like sometimes the patients go through quite a lot of different investigations, and then also eventually it clicks that, you know, a lot of time. Is that true? And the other thing which I found out is that perhaps it is, there is a ethnic variation in, because I felt that we probably see it a lot more in Asia, right, compared to Caucasian, or is that the other way around?
I think it's the other way around, but increasingly we are also seeing more. Perhaps there's more awareness, so people tend to look for it and investigate for it. So I would say that increasingly we are seeing a little more multiple myeloma, perhaps because of more awareness, I guess. As in whether there's an ethnicity, but I don't think there's any variation within Malaysia, not that we know of anyway. But if you were to look at US, the African-American have a higher risk of having multiple myeloma. Right.
And more men, I understand.
Yes, usually more men. Yeah.
We don't know why.
I'm not sure.
Okay. You really?
Poor men.
I can make up stories.
Yeah, I can too. But probably not here.
That's right. Right.
We'll do it after the show.
Yes.
Dr. Gan. Yeah. But I also want to find out, the treatment is always not urgent. Am I correct?
Well, not necessarily true. It depends how the patient present. If patient present with a, they can present with high calcium level or what we call hypercalcemia, and that can cause a kidney failure or kidney injury. And there is an urgent to treat a patient if they present with hypercalcemia, or if they present with kidney failure, there is an urgent to treat that. And sometimes they have very high protein, and that can cause complication. Like what we call hyperviscosity syndrome. And that is also something that we have. It's almost like a medical emergency that we have to start treatment as soon as we can.
Okay, but, you know, the fact that doctors diagnose it late, perhaps, and it's not very well, and the symptoms mimic other conditions, it's not an aggressive cancer is what I'm saying, that you still have time that, you know, you can get diagnosed for the treatment to kick, you know, to take place.
Correct. If depends how they present. If it's just anemia with mild renal impairment, then perhaps you don't really need to immediately start treatment. So there would be still time to perform the proper investigation and have a proper discussion with the patient.
Okay, we'll come back and find out more about these wonderful treatment options that we have now compared to when Dr. Gan started to practice as a hematologist. If you have a question for us on multiple myeloma, let me just go through that again for you. It's the plasma cell, which is actually a type of white blood cell that you have that's made in the bone marrow, which is malignant. So the plasma cells are cancerous, and then it sort of creates havoc in your bone marrow, and it sort of hinders the production of healthy blood cells in the bone marrow. And what happens is it accumulates, and then after that, your production of antibodies is affected, which suppresses your immune system eventually, because we all know our white blood cells are our soldiers, isn't it? And when that's affected, then we become terribly immunocompromised as a result. So we'll come back and find out more. If you have a question, call us. It's 7733 2900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Good afternoon and welcome back. It's our Doctor in the House series on a health and living segment. Dr. George Lee, consultant urologist, in the studio with me, and joining us also Professor Dr. Gan Jinjin. She's a senior consultant hematologist. We are discussing how to manage multiple myeloma, which is a cancer of the white blood cells, which is actually the plasma cells. So, you know, we spoke at length about who is at risk. We don't know, right, what really causes this. However, men seem to be more at risk. You have mentioned. We forgot to talk about the diagnosis. How do you diagnose multiple myeloma?
Yeah, so we have this criteria to diagnose multiple myeloma. First, we would have to do a bone marrow examination to look at the number of abnormal plasma cells. And we would then do a serum protein electrophoresis. This is basically just a blood test to look at the level of the immunoglobulins, and also look at if there's any abnormal rise of a certain immunoglobulin, which we call monoclonal protein, or in short, M protein.
So if you do a yearly blood test, will it surface?
No, because a yearly blood test probably not going to show you very much, but if you have a concomitant anemia, so then if you have anemia, then the yearly blood test, the full blood count would show a low hemoglobin. If you do a liver function test, if the yearly blood tests in a private lab or whichever lab that include total protein and globulin and albumin, because albumin and globulin equals to the total protein. If you have that, then you would see an abnormally high total protein or abnormally high globulin, then you have to sort of start suspecting that something is not right.
So it could surface in a...
It could surface.
But it, presumably in a late stage disease that it could surface, such as... the LFT, the liver function test, start getting deranged. Is that a late stage disease or not necessarily?
Not necessarily. It depends how high the total protein is and how high the globulin is, because there's another condition where it may be a MGUS or monoclonal gammopathy of undetermined significance. You may have a raise globulin, but you may be asymptomatic.
Right.
Yeah, but so it not necessarily mean that the patient have multiple myeloma.
Okay.
So the diagnosis is predominantly done by blood tests, which is a specific blood test, and also the bone marrow examination.
As well as an X-ray or a low-dose CT scan or MRI, depending on what's the availability one have.
And that will demonstrate a characteristic changes of the bone when you do an X-ray and also the CT scan.
Yes. So you would see in a skull X-ray, you'll see the punch-out lytic lesions.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's
the
one that you always get in exams, so the final exam.
What punch-out is this?
Like a lytic lesion is like you can see the bone being destroyed. So it's like holes in the skull. In the X-ray. So it's not literally a hole.
But because they were pockets.
You have to understand, I take everything literally. So what hole is this?
No, they were pockets of lower densities of the bones.
Okay.
So if you take an X-ray.
Like dense, perhaps?
Less dense and multiple pockets of that. It's look like honeycomb kind of like appearance. And then we call it punch out. And that's a classic exam questions that medical students will get.
Yeah, but now... with technology advancing.
Nobody does skull X-ray anymore.
No, we do. We still do, like I say. But the criteria, you're trying to be a little bit more sensitive in diagnosing multiple myeloma and to decide whether the patient should start treatment. It's to do a little bit more sensitive investigation, and that includes low-dose CT or PET CT even now, or MRI. But I would say generally we still do X-rays, which is although not as sensitive, but it still does it work.
Yeah, Mira, just for the benefit of the listeners, bone marrow examination, usually you need to retrieve the bone marrow, and then one of the things that people
worry about, that's why I don't want to talk about
it's about bone marrow removal. Actually, it is not as scary.
It's not that. So I always imagine drilling into the bone and then having to get it. Is
see, we have the benefit of Dr. Gunn here to explain to the listeners out there. Actually, it's not such a traumatic, investigation.
No, it is not. It's actually an outpatient, and it's a daycare. We do it in daycare, and it's only the whole procedure probably about 30 minutes or so. Generally, that would be a little bit of pain, but with anesthesia...
And you are drilling into the bone, right?
Not really drilling.
Use your words carefully.
Not really
nudging.
It's just aspirating.
She's not convinced, but actually
thinking, how do you aspirate? Because the bone is hard.
That's true. You do have a needle that you insert in, and then you aspirate the bone marrow.
And Professor Gunn has got strong arms, it's not easy, not difficult in order to retrieve some bone marrow. And it's really safe procedure, isn't it?
Yes,
I mean, a lot of people worry about that. And that is predominantly your specific tool to make a lot of diagnosis for hematological conditions.
Correct.
So you are, okay, so you're an expert at it then.
I don't know about that.
So what happens after you diagnose? Do you have to stage the cancer? What happens after?
Well, the staging will probably, once it diagnosed as active multiple myeloma, the staging will basically just give us the prognosis, really. But the treatment will probably be about the same if they really do require treatment. Yeah.
Okay. So, and you have mentioned that since you started in this field, many, many years ago, the prognosis is a lot better.
Much better.
From the time you actually started. Why is that? Maybe we can go through some of the treatment options that has resulted in this better prognosis for multiple myeloma.
Correct. Now we have much more treatment options. We have, for example, those days, many years ago, we have only melphalan, one of the chemotherapy drugs. But now we have a whole armamentarium for multiple myeloma, and one of them are proteasome inhibitor like bortezomib, which have shown very good and rapid response. We have the IMiDs or immunomodulatory drugs like the lenalidomide or pomalidomide or thalidomide. And of course, now we also have monoclonal antibodies like daratumumab. So we have quite a number of options that we can use to manage these patients. And of course, with stem cell transplant in certain group of patients who are fit, it also prolonged the progression-free survival as well as improved the overall survival.
Okay, it was my Wapuchitao moment because
it's okay.
That was a lot. That was a lot.
So it's a little bit of a mouthful.
So chemo, I got you at chemo. You lost me at chemotherapy.
Yes. I'm so sorry.
That's all right. So is it, okay, chemotherapy I got. Mm-hmm. Was the next one steroids or?
Yes, steroid will be, usually when we treat multiple myeloma, we will use combination of therapy. So we call it triplet therapy. Usually we use three drugs. So steroid will be one of them. And then we can use one of the new drugs like bortezomib, which is a proteasome inhibitor. It is not really a chemotherapy. It works by inducing cell death by inhibiting the proteasome.
Okay.
So it's in cellular level.
Mm. Okay.
And you can add that with immunomodulatory drugs.
Which is immunotherapy?
No. It is modulating the immune, and it's altering the microenvironment of the bone marrow.
Sure.
Again, I think it's too technical, but those are the combination that one can use by using three different combo. And you can, even within one of them, you can add on some chemotherapy. So like cyclophosphamide, for example. So usually with three drugs, the response rate is quite good.
Okay. Mm. So you're looking at this little army that's made up of looking after different parts of this enemy and then trying to make sure it dies.
Yes.
Okay. Targeted therapies.
I guess we don't call them targeted therapy, but if you talk about monoclonal antibody, it sort of, I guess you can say sort of a target. It targets the surface antigens of the myeloma cells or plasma cells, where then the monoclonal antibody, attached to that and then kill it or destroy it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I've also got on my list that stem cell transplants could possibly work. I mean, stem cells, there's a lot of debate out there as to whether stem cells work or not, but I do understand it's the one area in which stem cells work is in blood cancers.
Correct.
And so in this case, is stem cell transplants an option?
Yes, it is definitely an option. And we offer to most of our patients who are eligible, meaning the age limit. We used to transplant patients less than 60 years of age, but now we are transplanting patients less than 70 years.
How does this work? Where do you get the stem cell from?
Usually from themselves. We call it autologous stem cell transplant. It means the stem cells are derived from the patients themselves. So
you spin it outside and put it back in?
We collect it, we harvest it, and then we keep it, we cryopreserved it, then we give patient high-dose chemotherapy, and then we reinfuse back the stem cell.
Okay. Amazing, right?
Very.
Yeah.
It's just
so
amazing.
So it's another topic by itself.
Absolutely. But, and what does that achieve? What does it do?
So the high-dose, the rationale is the high-dose therapy, which is high-dose chemotherapy, which hoping to eradicate whatever residual myeloma cells that is still in the bone marrow.
Mm-hmm.
But because the intensity of the chemotherapy is so toxic that the normal blood precursors are also being destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
So the body would not have the ability to regrow their own stem cells. So we would then reinfuse their own stem cell, which had been previously collected, reinfuse back, and then the stem cell would then home to their own bone marrow and then regrow whatever normal blood cells that they have.
Okay, so it's not a treatment option. It works together with other sort of treatment options like chemotherapy.
Yes.
It's not a...
When we talk about stem cell transplantation, it basically means high-dose chemotherapy together with a stem cell reinfusion.
It's a package altogether.
Yeah, it has to. It doesn't work in isolation.
No.
Okay, we'll come back and find out how to then, as a patient, I mean, this is a lot of information, even for me, right? There's so many options. How do you decide the best outcome for the patient? We'll come back and find out more up next. Meanwhile, if you have a question on multiple myeloma, give us a call. It's 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can tweet us at BFM Radio. We have a question and we'll come back and answer Jason Lim's question about how about CAR-T or CAR-T or NK cells treatment, is that approved and used in Malaysia?
I have no idea
what that is. But we have a hematologist in the house, so ask your questions. Up next on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Good afternoon and welcome back. It's our Doctor in the House series. Dr. George Lee, consultant urologist in the studio with me, together with Professor Dr. Gan Jinjin. She's a senior consultant hematologist. We are discussing managing multiple myeloma. Now, we've gone through quite a bit of discussions about it. It's a type of blood cancer. And in short, it's when your plasma cells become malignant and your plasma cell is a type of white blood cell. So your soldiers get compromised and then you open up yourself to the enemy and then you can't fight it.
When and you have precision fighting with monoclonal antibodies.
To kill the malignancy or the cancer that's affecting the plasma cells. So we were discussing just now the treatment options, Dr. Gan, but let's go to one of the questions first from Jason. What about CAR-T or NK cell treatments? Are those approved and used in Malaysia?
A very good question. And CAR-T, it's a very in thing now. Quite a lot of patients in overseas are benefiting from CAR-T. But as for multiple myeloma, it's still in earlier stage. There are quite a number of clinical trials looking at this CAR-T, but it's actually a CAR against this BMCA cells. Again, that's again very technical, BCMA. So it is not approved yet for multiple myeloma, but the result has been quite promising. I would say no, it is not really available in Malaysia yet because it's not really approved.
Okay, but do you see it coming in the foreseeable future?
Probably in a sense of CAR T cells for other malignancy, other blood cancer. But I think there are some logistic issue that one need to look into because it's not as easy as it's not drug manufacturing. It's actually a little bit more complicated.
Sure. Okay, so we have another question here. How accessible are these therapies? Because you were saying now it comes as, you know, one doesn't work in isolation. You need to attack these cancer cells with various options, right? Whether it's chemotherapies together with stem cell or whether it's immunotherapy. Then the question is, how accessible are these options and is it costly?
I'm sure it is difficult. Obviously, I'm going to say it is very costly. So the first line, usually we would use certain drugs that is now available. They're now generic. So it is sort of bring the cost down a little bit. But unfortunately, multiple myeloma is, you can't really cure multiple myeloma. So patient will relapse in time to come. So when they relapse, we will just have to use different type of drug combination therapy. And each time, the cost of the drug will just go increasingly higher and higher.
What's the prognosis? You mentioned it's improved from the time you started working. But from what, how has it improved?
Well, when the time, maybe 20, 30 years ago, the median survival probably about 4 years or 5 years. But now you're talking about double it, maybe 10 years. And we have seen patients who live beyond 10 years. So it's improving. So
That's a good survival. That's almost like cure. But how often do they get relapse if they, let's say, you know, live that long?
Within that 10 years, they will relapse. They will have multiple relapses.
I see. Okay.
And during these multiple relapses, we will then offer drugs or combination of drugs or stem cell transplantation. And then they will go into remission. and then they will relapse mm-hmm. again, and then we will then treat them again, and it just goes on. Mm. But each time you may have new drugs that we can use, so... Mm.
Yeah. So, I mean, will the monoclonal antibodies actually reduce the relapse rates for multiple myeloma patients?
Well, I won't say reduce the relapse rate. I think just monoclonal antibody probably by itself it doesn't work. You need to have combination of therapy. It does achieve response mm-hmm. and it may delay the progression.
Uh-huh.
I won't say it is any better than one or the other.
Okay. You know, I'm when you said it's going to relapse many times in the 10 years, how do your patients deal with it?
I think some of them do get depressed, especially when you know that there are certain drugs that are available, but they are unable to access to it because of cost.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the
challenges
yeah. that...
Yeah. Oh, it's the same challenge that, you know, across the board of new
for
drugs
cancers.
Coming out, cancer drugs, because in undergoing such scrutiny and research and development, of course, that's justification to charge more. But.
Yeah, but, you know, even just chemotherapy and stem cell therapy and all of that, I mean, even without using the designer drugs, that is still costly, isn't mm-hmm. it, if you keep having relapses?
Well, stem cell transplantation, you can only do once. We can do two times. We call it tandem stem cell transplant. But stem cell transplantation depends where you are having it done. If you have it done in a government hospital, it won't be that expensive. And it's sort of one-off. So, but if you are talking about drugs like that need long-term, because we also practice maintenance therapy,
yeah. mm-hmm.
so that can bring up the cost.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And do they lead... any sort of quality of life in the time that they are in remission?
Yes, they do. So sometimes, from my experience, we do have patients who, that patient that I mentioned that have a crack on his bone in the mm-hmm. spine, we treated him and he had stem cell transplantation. He was not able to walk before and now he could walk with some, with a walking stick. And he's doing quite well. So it's not all bad news. They improve, some of them. Mm-hmm. So
the reason I ask is because treatment sounds intense. It's you know, various components to this treatment. I mean, it runs across the board for cancers, I suppose.
Yeah.
It is pretty similar, but this is your...
Is that the right impression that Mira has? Because I am under the impression that the older treatments such as chemotherapy and that sort of things are a lot more intense. But newer generations of such as monoclonal antibodies are less intense because they have less side effects and also better efficacy. Is that a wrong impression that I get?
Not really. I think George is partially correct because a lot of these drugs are relatively not as toxic as chemotherapy. So, and quite a number of them are in oral form. So it is really quite convenient for the patient because you just need to take orally. You don't have to come to hospital so often for mm-hmm. intravenous jab. And some of the drugs are just subcutaneous injection. So I think the newer therapy now are not as toxic as what just chemotherapy itself.
Are you excited about developments coming through for multiple myeloma? I mean, any sort of research that you're excited about?
Yeah, I think there's a lot that is happening for multiple myeloma, and I foresee one of it like the CAR T cells, mm-hmm. and of course the new antibody drug conjugates. Again, that's very technical, but mm-hmm. they are using monoclonal antibody together with a chemotherapy drug so that you hit the cancer cells with both mechanism.
Mm-hmm.
So there are many, many new things coming up in multiple myeloma. So it's very exciting. It's the only issue is the accessibility,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
What is, you know, if you could sum up for us your experience as a hematologist in the field of multiple myeloma, how would you describe it?
I think multiple myeloma it's a disease that I think patient will have to accept that you may have to live with it for a long time. But then with the advances of science, I think there are now increasingly more options that we can use if they when they relapse. And I think the quality of life is also improving. And also, I think survival is also improving with all these new therapeutic options.
Okay. You know, I have to say, you know, that you have come out to talk to us. Normally, hematologists don't really talk to us now, do they?
Because you don't invite them.
I do. And we didn't even realize Professor Gunn is sitting there in, you know, University of Malaya doing, you know, such good work. And I understand you're a rock star in your field.
I'm not.
You are.
No, I'm not.
See, you're very, very
humble
and modest. Right, yeah.
No, I'm just stating the fact.
But, she is a rock star. Yeah. I was there.
Would you have a message for us, George, on what you have learned from today?
Well, actually, to be truthful, I mean, the things that we highlighted earlier on about symptoms alone, you know, a crack of the bone in physiotherapy, that really translates to pain and poor quality of life, such as anemia, kidney failure, and also tiredness because of low immune system and regular infection. And all these, although the survival for many patients who suffer from multiple myeloma may have 3 to 5 years, but the quality of life will really improve with the new generations of medications. I really think that is a key point. And of course, accessibility when the drug is new might not be so easy. However, with advancement and also more awareness of the disease, I'm sure patients will have brighter quality of life and the future.
Thank you both very much for joining me today. That was Professor Gunn Jinjin, Senior Consultant Hematologist, and of course, Dr. George Lee, Consultant Urologist, speaking to us about multiple myeloma. And this show is part of a health education campaign brought to you by Johnson & Johnson Malaysia. You've been listening to Health and Living on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.